Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will analyze the case of Megan Jackson. First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Megan Marie Jackson was born in May 1985 and lived in Conway, South Carolina. This is 14 miles northwest of Myrtle Beach. Sometime around 2004, she became romantically involved with a man named Greg Rice. The couple had four children together, but they never legally married. Megan worked as a body transporter subcontractor. At all hours during the day and night, she would transport corpses for funeral homes and the coroner's office in a modified Honda Odyssey minivan. It was like a rideshare service for passengers who never complain and who are odor challenged. Through her morbid line of work, she became friends with the Horry County Deputy Coroner, Christopher Allen Dontell. Christopher was married to a teacher named Erica, and they had two children together. In December 2019, Greg and Megan separated. Greg lived in an apartment, and Megan and her children moved into a 2,300-square-foot house on River's Edge Drive. This is the same neighborhood where Christopher lived. Megan was able to afford this house because she had received an inheritance. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On Monday, October 5, 2020, Megan Jackson reported that her former lover, Greg Rice, was missing. He had last been seen on Friday, October 2, leaving work. Megan claimed that she spoke to him on the phone that evening. When talking to the police, Megan offered a theory about what could have happened to Greg, saying that perhaps he overdosed on substances and fell into a nearby river. The police searched his home and did not find any substances, but they did find his keys and wallet inside the cushions of an outdoor patio chair. His vehicle was accounted for, and there was no sign of forced entry into his apartment. Just over a month later, on November 8, Greg's body was found in the Little PD River near Pitts Landing off Highway 378. His body was wrapped in two blankets and a tarp. Ratchet straps and cable ties were wrapped around this tarp, and his body was weighed down with a cinder block. An autopsy revealed that he had been shot at least five times with a firearm chambered in .22 long rifle. The police determined that the items used in the body disposal, like the tarp, came from a local Lowe's home improvement store. When reviewing video surveillance from that store, they discovered that Christopher Dontell had purchased the items on October 3, the day after Greg went missing. Again, Christopher was the deputy coroner who was friends with Megan. The police soon learned that Christopher and Megan had been engaging in an affair, which had started in 2018. Not long before Greg went missing, Megan told Christopher she was pregnant with his child. On September 27, just 5 days before Greg disappeared, Christopher's wife Erica received text messages from an anonymous number. The messages exposed the affair and indicated that Megan was pregnant. Erica confronted both Christopher and Megan about these messages. They denied the affair and said that Greg may have sent the messages. Investigators determined that the messages actually came from Megan. It appears as though she was trying to get Erica to leave Christopher, but that did not happen. On October 2, 2020, the last day Greg was seen alive, Megan and Christopher were captured on video driving separate vehicles into a nature preserve at 6:16 p.m. After this, they went to dinner at a Mexican restaurant in Myrtle Beach, arriving at about 7 p.m. At 9:14 p.m., their phones were located at the Myrtle Beach funeral home, a place they had access to due to their jobs. Not long after this, Greg received two phone calls from Megan. At about 10 p.m., the Honda Odyssey that Megan drove was captured driving into Greg's apartment complex, and her phone pinged near his apartment. At about 10:30 p.m., the phones of Greg, Megan, and Christopher were all at the Myrtle Beach funeral home. At 11:06 p.m., Greg's phone stopped being active. On November 11, 2020, Megan and Christopher were arrested and charged with murder. They were released on bond, but violated the terms of this release by contacting each other, presumably for the purposes of sex. They claimed they were just exchanging Christmas presents, which gives new meaning to the phrase Secret Santa. Several months later, in June 2021, their bonds were revoked. The state was concerned that they didn't really have enough evidence to convict Megan or Christopher. They were really hoping that one of them would turn against the other and offered each of them the opportunity to come clean in exchange for a lighter sentence. Christopher admitted that he and Megan were at the funeral home. He said that Megan left without him and returned shortly afterward. He never saw Greg and did not know what happened to him. Megan had a different story. She claimed that Christopher coerced her to drive Greg to the funeral home. She dropped Greg off there, left, and never saw him again. Investigators did not believe either story and went forward with taking the cases to trial. On December 3, 2024, right as the state was getting ready to deliver the opening statement in Christopher's trial, he decided to plead guilty to conspiracy to commit murder and accessory after the fact. He was not sentenced at that time. First, he had to testify against Megan at her murder trial, which started on June 10, 2025. Here is the story that Christopher supplied on the stand. On October 2, 2020, the day Greg went missing, Megan asked Christopher to drive her to Greg's apartment complex. After arriving, they saw Greg walking on a sidewalk. Megan ordered Christopher to make a U-turn and pull alongside Greg. After Christopher did this, Megan opened the passenger side door, produced a pistol, and shot Greg multiple times. Christopher claimed he had no idea that she was going to do this. Megan's homicidal action took him completely by surprise. After the shooting, Megan screamed at Christopher to put Greg's body in the vehicle. Again, this vehicle was equipped for transporting bodies, so this was amazingly convenient. They took the body to the funeral home and placed it in a cooler with a sign that read, "Hold for Coroner." Megan ordered Christopher to get rid of the body, saying that if the body was discovered at that funeral home, she was going to kill him. Under this threat of death, Christopher made a trip to Lowe's the next day to purchase items to aid in the body disposal. He retrieved the body from the funeral home, prepared it for disposal by wrapping it in the tarp, and threw it over a bridge into the Little Petey River. On June 17, 2025, Megan Jackson was convicted of murder. Her sentence was a term of life in prison without the possibility of parole. Christopher Dontell was sentenced to 5 years in prison for the conspiracy charge and 15 years for the accessory charge. The sentences are to be served consecutively. His projected release date is December 9, 2031, but he will be eligible for parole on July 16, 2026, when he will be 43 years old. Now moving to my analysis. Megan Jackson maintains her innocence. Her defense argued that Christopher Dontell killed Greg Rice by himself. Megan was not involved. He was deceptive, had a motive, and pleaded guilty to conspiracy and being an accessory. The state of South Carolina, of course, disagrees, arguing that Christopher may have repeatedly lied to investigators and should never be trusted, but he told the truth during Megan's trial. This brings me to the question, is Megan Jackson guilty of murder? Let's take a look at the evidence, both for and against the idea that she is guilty, starting with the inculpatory factors. At the time of Greg's death, Megan and Christopher were romantically involved. Megan tried to break up Christopher's marriage by sending mysterious text messages to his wife, Erica. A text message exchange between Megan and Christopher revealed that Megan wanted to harm Greg. She said that she was ready for him to suffer a popped tire on the highway or to have his brake lines cut. Christopher responded that he was ready for this too. On October 2, 2020, the day Greg disappeared, Megan and Christopher were in his neighborhood at around 10 p.m. Then they drove to a funeral home. Later, Greg's body was found in a river along with items that Christopher purchased on October 3 from a Lowe's home improvement store. Christopher testified that he witnessed Megan murder Greg. After this, she forced him to dispose of the body. He said that prior to the murder, when they were at the nature preserve, Megan was practicing with a firearm. This assertion is supported by video surveillance of Megan with a blow-up doll in the passenger seat of her vehicle. Maybe she was using this doll for target practice. By design, inflatable companions are built to withstand many indignities, some loosely resembling live fire exercises. However, actual bullets are rarely part of their experience. This particular blow-up doll appears to have drawn the short straw, no small achievement in that line of work. Among Megan's belongings, the police found an empty box for a .22 caliber pistol. The gun was never found and never reported missing. Megan's daughter Savannah testified that Megan came home one night intoxicated and said, "I hope what happened to your father happens to your sister." Now moving to the exculpatory factors. At the time of Greg's murder, Megan had been separated from him for about 10 months. She did not have a clear motive to kill Greg. Christopher was having an affair with Megan. He was the one who had everything to lose. After Greg's disappearance, Christopher repeatedly lied to the authorities. In the final version of his story, he claimed that he did not know that Megan was planning on killing Greg. This is almost impossible to believe. He admitted that Megan had practiced shooting on the day of the murder, but it never occurred to Christopher that she was going to kill Greg. Christopher admitted to driving to the scene of the murder, loading the body in the back of the vehicle after Megan shot Greg, storing the body in a funeral home, purchasing items to be used in the body disposal, and throwing the body over a bridge into a river. He claimed that he carried out the body disposal because Megan threatened to kill him. However, his later actions do not support this claim. For example, when they were out on bond, Christopher repeatedly met with Megan to exchange Christmas presents. Maybe Megan had nothing to do with the murder, and Christopher acted on his own. When considering all the evidence in this case, do I believe that Megan Jackson is guilty of murder? Yes, I believe she is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Megan Jackson is self-centered, impulsive, irresponsible, vindictive, petty, cold, callous, remorseless, materialistic, manipulative, deceptive, unsophisticated, sensation-seeking, overconfident, has a sense of entitlement, and is exceedingly creepy. Megan pursued a romantic relationship with Christopher before leaving her longtime lover, Greg. She purchased a house in Christopher's neighborhood and moved in with her children. When the police searched that house later, they found bottles of alcohol all over the place. Some of the bottles were hidden. It appeared as though Megan was unwilling or unable to restrict her intake of alcohol. The attitude that Megan had toward her children was bizarre and frightening. There were locks on the outside of the bedroom doors so the children could be locked in their rooms. Megan had also installed locks on the bedroom windows and on the kitchen pantry. A bartender said that she overheard Megan and Christopher talking one night at a restaurant. Megan said that she hated her kids and thought about killing them all the time. An argument could be made that Megan's chances of being nominated for Mother of the Year were slipping away quickly. During her affair with Christopher, Megan convinced him to help her kill Greg. He equally participated in the murder, despite his denial. Christopher was ready to take his chances at trial, but then he panicked. He pleaded guilty and tried to minimize his involvement, painting Megan as a master manipulator. He claimed that he was not physically attracted to Megan, rather maintained the affair exclusively for financial benefit. Like many of Christopher's claims, this one is impossible to believe. In reality, he was so attracted to Megan that he killed for her, and he violated his bond conditions to spend time with her. It appears as though Christopher's wife, Erica, is standing by him. This is a surprisingly common phenomenon in cases like this, but it still makes no sense. Christopher did not really have a very favorable distribution of negative and positive attributes. On the negative side, he had an affair, entered a conspiracy to commit murder, wrapped the victim's body in a tarp, threw the body over a bridge, lied about his behavior repeatedly, then turned on his conspirator simply to get a better deal. On the positive side, Christopher was technically alive. Somehow, when Erica weighed all these factors, she concluded that Christopher was worth supporting. This gives new meaning to setting the bar low. Those are my thoughts in the case of Megan Jackson. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.